Grace and peace be multiplied unto you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. This morning we consider the letter of Paul to the Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 14, reading today in the King James Version. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So far the Holy Word. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, whose cross towers o'er the wrecks of time, dear fellow redeemed. A few years back, there was a popular song entitled Glory Days, in which the singer rather cleverly describes how certain episodes in your life can seem extremely important and glorious at the time, but when you look back later on in life, are revealed as being really rather trivial and unimportant. In the song, a man who was a star baseball pitcher on the team at his high school ends up years later as a lonely drunk in a roadside bar. A woman who was the most popular girl at school at one time ends up a single mom with a broken marriage and a house full of kids to feed. As the old Latin saying goes, sic transit gloria mundi, thus passes away the glory of the world. Nothing dies harder in people, though, than the desire for glory. The ancient philosopher Tacitus once said, the desire for glory clings even to the best man longer than any other passion. Well, today's text is about glory. It's about what's glorious and what isn't. What truly deserves our attention and our aspirations, and what doesn't. Maybe a sense of glory has been sadly lacking in your life recently. Or maybe you've been glorying in the wrong things. If so, our brief text for today holds good news for you. This morning we consider the theme, the cross is our only glory. It's the only glory we have, but it's the only glory we need. Christian congregation in Galatia was troubled by a group of false teachers known as the Judaizers. The Judaizers were glorying in the wrong thing. They were extremely proud of the fact that they had compromised with the world. They thought that they had come up with the perfect solution to the persecution that was then going on between the Jews and the Christians. They told the Galatians, you can be a little bit of both. You can be saved both by faith and by good works. You can be saved by trusting in Christ, yes, but also by doing good works, by practicing circumcision, by observing the Sabbath, by abstaining from certain foods and keeping all the rest of the Old Testament Mosaic law. The Apostle Paul said of them, they desire to make a fair show in the flesh. They constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. So, in order to avoid persecution and all the heat that was coming down on them from the Jews, these people compromised. They even gloried in it, thinking that if they could get the rest of the Galatian congregation of Christians to go along with their approach, why, that would be quite an achievement for them. That would be like a feather in their cap. They take something shameful and repugnant, compromising with God's word, and they treat it as though it was something to be proud of, something glorious and wonderful. One can't help but think of recent cases among churches here in the Pacific Northwest, where they did the same thing, took something that among Christians should be considered shameful and celebrated it as if it were something wonderful and glorious. It brings to mind the words of Christ, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. By way of contrast, Paul says in our text that he's not in any way seeking any kind of worldly glory or glory from the world. God forbid that I should glory, he says, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul knew very well that the only thing in this world worth glorying in is the cross of Jesus Christ. In fact, it's the only glory we have. Every other kind of glory is just an illusion. Paul clung to the cross of Christ as his only glory because he knew there wasn't any other. And he didn't much care what the world had to say about it. Why? He tells us, because the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Seems a rather odd thing to say, doesn't it? In order to understand those words, we need to understand what it meant to be crucified. One writer said, crucifixion meant death, of course, but more than simple death, it was a death of shame and abomination, by which the dead one was cast out as one execrated and rejected. Paul said that this is now the way he views the world. This is how he, as a Christian, views the world, as something to be cast out and rejected, something that's not even worth considering. And he says that's exactly how the world now feels about him as a Christian, and he's fine with that. The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Well, you're a Christian. Let me ask you the same question. Is the world crucified unto you? Have you rejected the unholy influences of this world? Or have you rather allowed them to subtly shape your attitudes and your behavior? And the other way, are you crucified to the world? Do you care if the unbelievers among whom you live look down on your Christian faith, consider you strange, consider you somewhat the object of ridicule? Do you let your Christian differences shine forth as a witness in your life? Or do you rather tend to hide your light under a bushel, keeping quiet about your faith and doing the best you can to blend in with the world? Remember, my Christian friends, we have no glory apart from Christ. Any glory that seems to exist in this world is simply an illusion. In fact, the Apostle John says that the glory of the cross and the glory of the world are mutually exclusive. Love not the world, he says, neither love the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, turning our backs on the world can be a bit frightening. It's a little daunting, isn't it, to declare that from now on, we will no longer value and praise the things that everyone around us values and praises. It's a little bit like saying we're no longer going to use their money. We're going to make up our own. But my Christian friends, let's not be afraid to abandon the so-called glory, the illusory glory that this world has to offer. Let's join the Apostle Paul. Let's let the world be crucified to us and us crucified to the world. It may be true that the cross is the only glory we have, but it's also true that it's the only glory we need. Yes, the cross truly is the only glory we need. If you think about it for a moment, if you strip life down to its essentials and look at it from the eternal perspective, what needs do you have that your Heavenly Father doesn't graciously supply you? He gives you daily bread. He guards and protects you from danger. He preserves you from every evil of body and soul. When you look back on the record of your life, can you think of a single instance in which you faced crisis or difficulty and the Lord did not uphold you and sustain you? I can't. Rather, when you start thinking about your past life, isn't it true? A pattern emerges, a pattern of repeated pouring out of God's mercy and grace and help into your life. What a glorious thing it is to be able to rely absolutely on that comforting promise of Isaiah. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Well might we Christians glory in our God, who so richly protects and cares for us. But you know, I haven't even really touched on the real glory yet, have I? The glory that surpasses every other. And I mean the glory of salvation, the glory of righteousness and forgiveness and eternal life. And that's the glory that comes to us exclusively through the cross of our Savior Jesus. Our world of today is so inglorious and so casual and informal that it's a little hard to come up with an example of glory from everyday life. But I did think of one. Weddings are still pretty glorious, aren't they? Even people who never get dressed up still get dressed up for weddings. The music is glorious. Flowers are glorious. The groomsmen are glorious in their tuxedos and the bridesmaids in their satin and chiffon. But the height of glory in a wedding has to be the bride, decked as she is in what is probably the most beautiful dress she'll ever wear in her life. She is the very picture of glory. And you know what's interesting? That is exactly the picture that the Old Testament uses quite frequently of the glory that is ours in Christ Jesus. Isaiah says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. We don't glory in ourselves. Of course we don't. We're done with that. That's what the world does, and the world is crucified to us. But you can glory all day long in the cross of your Savior, Jesus Christ. With his suffering on that cross, he redeemed you from all your sins. He purchased for you the garments of salvation. With what joy you can now fling off the filthy garments of your flesh and of your own pathetic righteousness. The cross entitles you to glorious clothing. The cross of Christ entitles you to wear the pure white robe of Christ's righteousness. Christ was crucified for me. If you're going to glory in something, glory in that and nothing else. Point to the cross and say, God loved me so much, he was willing to do that to his son in order to save me. If you want glory, there's all the glory you could ever ask for and then some. Christ was crucified for me. If you want to brag about something, brag about that. Through the cross, you have been pardoned. Through the cross, you've been delivered from eternal death. Through the cross, you've been promised a mansion in eternal glory. Don't hide that from the people you know and meet. Glory in it. Share it with them. Really, it's the only thing you can do, isn't it? Because Scripture says the love of Christ compels us. It compels us to share this good news with others. Reminds me of that man of the Gadarenes that Jesus healed. You remember there by the Sea of Galilee? What did he do after he was delivered from his great affliction? He gloried in his deliverance. After he was healed, he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. That's your job in a nutshell, my Christian friends. It's simply to communicate to people the great things God has done for you, to glory in the cross of your Savior. Now that I think of it, an even simpler example of glory comes to mind. We don't have to think back any further than yesterday. Yesterday was a glorious day, wasn't it? After all the rain of the past several months comes a day of warm weather and bright sunshine. Hardly a cloud in the sky and temperatures in the 60s. You could almost hear the grass growing. Haven't had many days like that recently. And I'm sure when you first stepped outside into the sunlight, you thought the same thing to yourself that I did. What a glorious day. But the most glorious day there ever was will pale in comparison to the eternal day that will one day dawn for you and me in heaven. That is an everlasting glory, one that God has promised us through the cross of his Son, Jesus. In his revelation, the Apostle John had a vision of that glorious day. He saw heaven, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Amen. Please rise.